reading today will come from the book of Judges, Judges chapter 6. And in the insert in your bulletins, you'll have on one side the sermon outline, and then on the back side, the scripture reading from Judges 6, beginning at verse 33, all the way to chapter 7, verse 16. It's a bit of a lengthier scripture reading, so the font has been shrunk just a little bit to get it all on one page. Hopefully you can still see clear enough to follow God's word as we read it together. Judges chapter 6, verse 33 to 7, verse 16. Let us pay careful attention to the public reading of God's holy and infallible and inerrant word. Now all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east came together, and they crossed the Jordan and encamped in the valley of Jezreel. But the Spirit of the Lord clothed Gideon, and he sounded the trumpet, and the Abiezrites were called out to follow him. And he sent messengers throughout all Manasseh, and they too were called out to follow him. And he sent messengers to Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, and they all went out to meet him. Then Gideon said to the Lord, or said to God, "If you will save Israel by my hand as you have said, behold, I am laying a fleece of wool on the threshing floor. If there is dew on the fleece alone, and it is dry on all the ground, then I shall know that you will save Israel by my hand, as you have said." And it was so. When he rose early the next morning and squeezed the fleece, he wrung enough dew from the fleece to fill a bowl with water. Then Gideon said to God, "Let not your anger burn against me. Let me speak just once more. Please let me test just once more with the fleece. Please let it be dry on the fleece only, and on the ground let there be dew." God did so that night, and it was dry on the fleece only, and on the ground there was dew. Then Jerubbaal, that is, Gideon, and all the people who were with him, rose early and encamped beside the spring of Harod. The camp of Midian was north of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. The Lord said to Gideon, "The people with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hand, lest Israel boast over me, saying, 'My own hand has saved me.' Now, therefore, proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, 'Whoever is fearful and trembling, let him return home and hurry away from Mount Gilead.' Then 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained. And the Lord said to Gideon, 'The people are still too many. Take them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. And any one of whom I say to you, 'This one shall go with you,' shall go with you. And any one of whom I say to you, 'This one shall not go with you,' shall not go." So he brought the people down to the water. And the Lord said to Gideon, "Everyone who laps the water with his tongue as a dog laps, you shall set by himself. Likewise, everyone who kneels down to drink." And the number of those who lapped, putting their hands to their mouths, was 300 men. But all the rest of the people knelt down to drink the water. And the Lord said to Gideon, "With the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hand, and let all the others go, every man to his own home." So the people took provisions in their hands and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, but retained the 300 men. The camp of Midian was below him in the valley. That same night, the Lord said to him, "Arise, go down against the camp, for I have given it into your hand. But if you are afraid to go down to the camp with Purah, your servant, and you shall hear what they say. And afterward, your hands shall be strengthened to go down against the camp." Then he went down with Purah, his servant, to the outpost of the armed men who were in the camp. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the people of the east lay along the valley like locusts in abundance, and their camels were without number, as the sand that is on the seashore in abundance. When Gideon came, behold, a man was telling a dream to his comrade. And he said, "Behold, I dreamed a dream, and behold, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian and came to the tent and struck it so that it fell and turned it upside down so that the tent lay flat." And his comrade answered, "This is no other than the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. God has given into his hand Midian and all the camp. As soon as Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation, he worshipped. And he returned to the camp of Israel and said, "Arise, for the Lord has given the host of Midian into your hand." And he divided the 300 men into three companies and put trumpets into the hands of all of them, an empty jar with fortune inside the jar. Thus the reading of God's word today from Judges chapter 6 and Judges chapter 7. Give thanks to the Lord for his word today. Well, congregation of our Lord Jesus, in recent weeks we have described the people of Israel in the book of Judges chapter 6 as poor, hungry, fearful, and beaten down. You ever feel like that in the world we live today? We have economic problems in our country. There's no secret about that. Our government has huge debt and inflation on rise everywhere. And who knows? Maybe we are really poor. We just don't know it yet. We hear almost every day on the news about food shortages, whether it's a shortage of eggs, they say, caused by the bird flu, or droughts so that the floods cannot, or so the crops cannot be planted and grown. People are stocking up on food for potential food shortages to come. And then there's fear of an enemy. It seems like almost every day we hear of the threat of war, whether it's the escalation potential of the Ukrainian conflict, war with Russia, or in recent weeks, an American Air Force general predicting that we will have war with China by 2025. Some people saying we may be already at war under the surface. We just don't know it yet. Yes, people are fearful and made to be fearful. And finally, what about being beat down? If you're a Christian, you try to live out your Christian faith, all around you, it feels like you're being beat down. If you're a kindergartner who goes to public school, you may have to deal with a classmate who isn't sure if they're a boy or a girl. You go to the doctor's office, you're handed a survey about what race, what gender, what sexual preference you are. Christians who live in this culture, having to face that on a daily basis, are starting to feel beat down. And yet the saddest and most discouraging thing of all for believers, as they look around, is to see people they know or who once identified themselves as church-going Christians now adopting the same sinful lifestyle as their non-Christian neighbor who lives near them. And so you look around, and you're left asking yourself, where is the Lord in all of this? What has happened? Maybe it causes you to doubt your faith. You've seen other Christians you know give themselves over to the worldly life. They don't go to church anymore. They don't live out their lives according to the Bible. The amount of faithful Christians in this world around you seems so small. And maybe you put and have that seed of doubt. It starts to creep in and you begin to wonder, well, is the Lord's salvation really true? Did he really die on the cross and supernaturally rise from the dead and save me from my sin? Or maybe you begin to doubt whether the Lord's promise is true, or that whether he will someday really come down from heaven and save his people and judge the world. If that's what you're thinking this morning, and you're one of those who started to think this way, then this passage this morning is for you. The judge Gideon was in the same situation, and in the midst of weakness and doubt, the Lord called and led Gideon to have a Hebrews 11 faith. Well, what does Hebrews 11 say? It's what some call eschatological faith. It's about how in the midst of all these same things that took place in Gideon's life, before an insurmountable enemy, what it seemed to be, Gideon came to the point where he understood what we now know in the New Testament from Hebrews 11, verse 1. I put it on your outline this morning, right under the introduction. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. Gideon had assurance and conviction that God had saved him and his people, even though it hadn't happened yet. Even though the earthly circumstances all around him looked dire and desperate, and the people of God looked so weak, he believed and came to a conviction that God would save his people, even though he couldn't see it yet. And so how did the Lord call and equip the judge Gideon to see that and to live that out? And how does the Lord want you to see that and to live that out in the world in which you live? Let's start this morning with the prelude to war. In the context of our passage this morning, we know that God's Old Testament people of Israel have done it again. After the Lord delivered them from the hand of Jabin and his 900 iron chariots through Deborah and Barak and Judges chapter 4 and 5, they have gone back to worshiping the false Canaanite gods of Baal and Asherah. And so at the beginning of Judges 6, we read about how the Lord gave them into the hands of the desert nomad peoples, the Amalekites and the Midianites. For 7 consecutive years, they have crossed the Jordan at harvest time. For 7 consecutive years, they have overpowered the people of Israel, forced them to flee up into the hills, to look down from the caves and the dens in which they were hiding, and watch helplessly as their food, their harvest, and all their sheep, oxen, and donkeys were taken by the Amalekites and the Midianites. And after 7 consecutive years, the people of Israel, like you, are poor, starving, fearful, and beaten down. And so what did they do? They did what they always do. They cried out to the Lord. And when they cried out to the Lord, the angel of the Lord came. The pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ appeared to Gideon and called him to be their deliverer. He calls Gideon a man of valor, and he tells Gideon, I am with you. And when Gideon looks at the circumstances around him, he doesn't believe that God is really with him. If you are with us, why are we poor, hungry, beaten down, and fearful? He asked the Lord for a sign to really show that the Lord is with him. And the Lord patiently waits under the tree in his front yard as Gideon prepares an offering for him. And when Gideon puts the offering on the rock, and the Lord brings supernatural fire out of the rock to consume the offering, and he disappears, Gideon knows it is the Lord. Alas, O Lord God, Gideon declares. He then builds an altar to the Lord. He calls it the altar of the Lord's peace, showing that he now understands that the Lord is with him and he is at peace. And yet before the Lord has him bring about the deliverance from the Midianites and the Amalekites, the Lord tells Gideon he first needs to deal with the root of the problem. The root of Israel's problem is not the Midianites and the Amalekites, although it seems that way. The root of the problem is that the people are worshiping false gods and living out a Canaanite sinful lifestyle. And so God tells him to break down the altar of Baal and the Asherah pole that is in his father's front yard. And when he breaks it down and he builds the altar of the Lord, the next morning the people of his clan, of his town, they come out, they see it broken down, the altar to Baal and Asherah, and they want to put Gideon to death. But Gideon's father stands up for him. He tells the men of the clan in the town that if Baal is God, let Baal contend with Gideon. So they back away. They give him the nickname Jerubbaal, which means let Baal contend with him. And then, in verse 33 of chapter 6, it's on the back of your sheet today, Here they come. Verse 33, now all the Midianites and the Amalekites and the people of the east come together, and they crossed the Jordan, and they encamped in the valley of Jezreel. It had happened for 7 consecutive years, and now here they are again. The Midianites, the Amalekites, they've already come from the desert. They've crossed the Jordan. They've entered the valley of Jezreel. Here they come to steal the crops and our food and to drive us up into the hills. But in verses 34 and 35, this time, something's different. The Spirit of the Lord clothes Gideon. He sounded the trumpet. And the Bezerites were called out to follow him, his clan. He sent messengers throughout Manasseh, and they too were called out to follow him. That's his tribe. He sent messengers to Asher, Zebulun, and Naphtali, 3 neighboring tribes, and they too came out, and it says they went out to meet him. And you see, this time when the Midianites and the Amalekites have come, God's Spirit has come upon Gideon, God's deliverer. And when Gideon sounds the Lord's trumpet of war, they have responded, and they've gathered, and they're ready to follow him. They went from wanting to put him to death to hearing the trumpet and being ready to follow him. And yet, in the face of the enemy, even though the angel of the Lord, the pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ, had already appeared to him and already told him in chapter 6, verse 16, that Gideon would have victory over the Amalekites and the Midianites, Gideon asked the Lord for a sign. The fact that the Lord has told me he would save his people through my hand, is that really true? It doesn't look like it. And so Gideon asked the Lord for a sign. A sign to show him that what God has said about the salvation to come through his deliverer is true. And so Gideon said to the Lord that he'll lay a fleece on the wool on the threshing floor during the night, and in the morning if the fleece is wet and the ground is dry, he will know that the Lord will save Israel by his hand. And so in the morning Gideon wakes up to find the fleece all wet, the ground all dry. He squeezes an entire bowl full of water out of the fleece, but it's still not enough. Gideon knows that what has happened is truly not a supernatural sign. That could happen within the order of nature. The fleece is wet, the ground is dry. Some of you have seen that in your own home, outside, as you leave something outside at night. Gideon then asked God for a supernatural sign. And what God would supernaturally do to suspend the natural order of nature. And he asked the Lord for this supernatural sign. This time he'll wake up in the morning and the ground will be wet and the fleece would be dry. Something only God could do. And the next morning Gideon wakes up and the ground was wet and the woolen fleece was dry. And do you see in our text this morning how the sign of the fleece then is sandwiched between the gathering of the armies and the battle that will take place in chapter 7. And that is because God has to show Gideon. And though Gideon, God has to show him, and God will show you, that the promise of his word to save his people is true. That the promise that God will someday supernaturally strike down his enemies and the enemies of God's people through the hand of his deliverer is true. And he will show Gideon, as he showed him with the sign, what Gideon will need to do. No. What Gideon will need to have and how he will have to live. By Hebrews 11, faith, that the victory will not come by way of human strength, but in weakness and and by the power of the Lord's mighty and supernatural hand. Hebrews 11:1, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. Look again at the situation in verse 1 of chapter 7. Then Jerubbaal, that is Gideon, and all the people who were with him, rose early and encamped beside the spring of Harod. Notice the text identifies Gideon as his nickname, Jerubbaal, that is Gideon. Jerubbaal, the one who contends with Baal. And God has just showed him that Baal is a false god because it is the Lord who controls the fertility, the dew, the power of nature. And with the Midianites and the Amalekites having crossed the Jordan River, he and all the people who are with him rise up early and they encamp beside the spring of Harod. The second part of verse 1 says, and the camp of Midian was north of them by the hill of Moreh in the valley. The Midianites have advanced and moved, forcing themselves into the land, and the Israelites and the Midianites and the Amalekites are now facing each other. Now, what is the mental state of the people of Israel? Are they confident? Are they thinking, now the Lord has sent a deliverer? Here's Gideon. The Spirit of the Lord is upon him. We see all of the Amalekites and the Midianites over there, and we're ready to go to war. The meaning of the name of the spring, Harod, where the Israelites are encamped, Harod means terror. That means that even though they have responded to Gideon's trumpet blast, even though the call has been to stand before the camp of Midian, chapter 8, verse 10 tells us that there are 135,000 Midianites and Amalekites in their army. They've been dominated by them for 7 years, and they're not confident. They're gathered at a spot which means terrified. And what does the Lord do first? Point B on your outline. The Lord reduces their number. There's 135,000. We have 32. And the Lord says, we need to reduce these numbers. 32,000 is too many. And so the Lord in verse 2 said to Gideon, the people with you are too many for me to give the Midianites into their hand. Let Israel boast over me, saying, my own hand has saved me. You see, the people have responded to Gideon's trumpet call, and they are fearful because they are still outnumbered. And yet the Lord now says, you still have too many people. And what is more, the Lord tells Gideon that not only do they have too many people, but that the Lord will give them the victory through less. If they have too many, they'll think it's their own strength. It'll be for their own glory. They need to have this victory not in their own strength, but in the Lord's strength. And the people need to know that. Because the people desperately need to know that salvation and deliverance is only found in God's appointed deliverer and Savior. You see what the Lord is showing Gideon and what really this is all about. This is not about the Midianites and the Amalekites and what they've done to Israel. From an earthly perspective, it looks like that. But this is really about the people. It's about their sin, and it's about their relationship with God. And so to increase Gideon's faith and their faith in the Lord and his deliverance, the Lord tells Gideon to reduce the numbers in verse 2. Verse 3 goes on with the Lord giving specifics. Now therefore proclaim in the ears of the people, saying, whoever is fearful and trembling, let him return home and hurry away from Mount Gilead. Then 22,000 of the people returned, and 10,000 remained. Think about that. In the face of the Midianites and the Amalekites and their army, which according to chapter 8, verse 10, was 135,000, 22,000 Israelites, fearful, went home. That's about two-thirds of those who had gathered. Two-thirds of those who had responded to Gideon's call. Now, you can imagine how disheartening that may have been to Gideon, to watch so many leave. And yet that is what God has instructed the people of Israel to do in his law. I put that verse in front of your outlines this morning there under that point, Deuteronomy chapter 28, chapter 20, verse 8, a portion of God's law which describes how to prepare his people when they go to war. And the officers shall speak further to the people and say, is there any man who is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go back to his house, lest he make the heart of his fellows melt like his own. You see, the law tells, God told his people in the law, if there are fearful among those who are about to go out to war, they're to go home, because once panic sets in, all will panic. So what the Lord has instructed Gideon to do here is according to his word and is according to his law. But even more in the face of this enemy, according to verse 2, God is reducing the numbers so they will know how weak and helpless they are and how mighty and powerful God is to save them. And with 22,000 men going home, they now have only 10,000 left to take on an army of 135,000 encamped across from them. And then you know what the Lord tells them? Gideon, there's still too many. And then in verse 4, the Lord gives further instruction. And God said to Gideon, the people are still too many. Take them down to the water, and I will test them for you there. And anyone of whom I say to you, this one shall go with you, this one shall go with you, shall go with you. And anyone of whom I say to you, this one shall not go with you, shall not go. Do you see how specific the Lord's words are in that verse? The Lord is going to test them. The Lord is going to choose the man who should go with Gideon, because the Lord knows their hearts. Verse 5, so he brought the people down to the water. And the Lord said to Gideon, everyone who laps the water with his tongue, as a dog laps, he shall set by himself. Likewise, everyone who kneels down to drink. And the number of those who lapped, putting their hands to their mouths, was 300 men. And all the rest of the people knelt down to drink the water. And so which group in this separation does the Lord choose? From an earthly perspective, Gideon would choose the larger number, 9,700. But look what the Lord decides and determines in verse 7. And the Lord said to Gideon, with the 300 men who lapped, I will save you and give the Midianites into your hand, and let all the others go, every man to his home. And so why did the 300 who lapped the water out of their hands, why did the Lord choose them? Like me, you may have heard the Sunday school lesson years ago where these soldiers were chosen because they drank with their heads up. They had their weapons ready to go right by their side in case the enemy attacked. They showed they were better soldiers. But remember, the Lord is not going to have them fight, because the Lord's going to give them the victory. That's what the Lord is teaching Gideon. And later we'll learn that they do not even fight with weapons. While it's true, there could be something to the fact that the Lord chose them because they were more vigilant and watchful, but just not like that has been described. But maybe the Lord chose those who drank from their hands because it shows what the Lord has said he will do with those 300 men who drank from their hands. He will give the Midianites into their hand. All we know for sure is that the Lord chose them. And this is about how the Lord chose them. So notice what Gideon does in verse 11. So the people took provisions in their hands and their trumpets, and he sent all the rest of Israel, every man to his tent, but retained the 300 men. And the camp of Midian was below him in the valley. Do you see how verse 8 tells us how Gideon did not obey the Lord? In verse 7, the Lord had said to Gideon, to send the 9,700 men that he had not chosen home. But verse 8 tells us that Gideon sent them back to their tent. There is still fear in Gideon's faith. Gideon wants to keep them, it seems, in reserve just in case they're needed. Even after the supernatural sign of the fleece that God will supernaturally save his people, there is still fear in Gideon's heart. According to verse 2, God wants Gideon, God wants Israel, to have faith in weakness so it will be clear that he is the only one who can save them. And this is so they will know they cannot save themselves. An enemy army that looks so large and threatening to God's people, God is telling Gideon, God is telling all of his people even today, in the eyes of the world, God's people will never compete with them. If we had a large army and we did it ourselves, the Lord says, you will think that you did it. God has to show Gideon, God has to show all of us today that the Lord has to save his people through his deliverer. And then do you see how the Lord has to lead Gideon and how he has to lead all of you, all of us, to have the kind of faith where you can know and see that? Look what the Lord tells Gideon again in verse 9. That same night, the Lord said to him, arise, go down against the camp, for I have given it into your hands. Think about how many times the Lord has told Gideon this. He told Gideon this earlier as he appeared to him at the threshing floor. He told Gideon, he showed Gideon with the sign of the fleece. Now he tells Gideon again, arise, go down against the camp, for I have given them into your hand. And yet the Lord knows, in the face of an enemy, and Israel's weakness of only 300 men, 1% of his original army, versus 135,000 Midianites and Amalekites, Gideon still has fear. He's reduced the numbers. Fear. And so our gracious and patient God gives to Gideon even more assurance. Verse 10, but if you are afraid to go down, the Lord calls attention to it. He knows what's in Gideon's heart. But if you are afraid to go down to the camp with Purah, your servant, and you shall hear what they shall say. And afterwards your hand shall be strengthened to go down against the camp. You see how the Lord has not chastening Gideon for his fear. He doesn't reprimand him yet. But the Lord again speaks to him with a tenderness, because to have faith in weakness is not a thing that comes naturally, like the first sign of the fleece. It's something that has to come supernaturally by God's Spirit from heaven. Do you see again how God is showing Gideon, how he is showing us that even having faith that God will someday come from heaven, it has to come from him. And so even though Gideon does not ask for a sign, the Lord tells him, if you are afraid, go down to the enemy camp and listen to what they have to say. And so we read in the second half of verse 11, that he went down with Purah his servant to the outposts of the armed men who were in the camp. And the Midianites and the Amalekites and all the people of the east lay along the valley like locusts in abundance, and their camels were without number as the sand that is in the seashore in abundance. The huge army of 135,000 looks like locusts in abundance. They have camels without number. The Israelites don't have any camels to fight. The Lord even describes them as being like the sand on the seashore in abundance. This is what God promised Abraham in Genesis 15. His descendants would be like the sand on the seashore. And when Gideon and his servant were in the camp, listen to what they heard. Verse 13, when Gideon came, behold, a man was telling a dream to his comrade. And he said, behold, I dreamed a dream, And behold, a cake of barley bread tumbled into the camp of Midian and came to the tent and struck it so that it fell and turned it upside down so that the tent lay flat. Now we know from other places in the Old Testament that God gives dreams about the future to non-believers. Pharaoh, king of Egypt, had dreams and Joseph was there to interpret. In the book of Daniel, King Nebuchadnezzar had dreams about the future. Daniel was there to interpret. And usually when God gives dreams to the enemies of his people, he reveals to them something about his coming judgment. And Gideon hears that a Midianite has had a dream. God sent him into the camp to hear what the Midianite dream was. And God provides for Gideon a Midianite interpreter. Verse 14, and his comrade answered, "This is no other than the sword of Gideon, the son of Joash, a man of Israel. God has given into his hand Midian and all the camp." You see, even the Midianites and the Amalekites know that Israel is far outnumbered. And yet, they've heard about Gideon. These non-believers, they have heard about the one who broke down the altar to Baal. And at this point, what else has Gideon done? That's the only thing he's done. As Midianites and Amalekites, they have a long history of being defeated by the God of Israel. And they know that the God of Israel, this man knows, is with Gideon. The loaf of barley bread that tumbled into the camp and crushed the tent, barley was the bread that the peasants ate. And Gideon understood. The Lord had revealed in the dream that even though Gideon's army was not made up of trained fighters with weapons, an army of peasants, God was going to give the Midianites into their hands. The Lord God, Gideon knew, has put fear into the Midianite camp. The fear of which he warned Israel in Deuteronomy chapter 20, verse 8, that fear is in the Midianite camp. And how does Gideon respond? Verse 15. As soon as Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation, what did he do? He worshiped. That means he understood the dream and its interpretation, and he believed that in the midst of the weakness of only 300 men, that God's repeated words to him, that had already come to him twice and the second time with the sign of the fleece, those words of deliverance in the face of weakness, are true. Verse 15, as soon as Gideon heard the telling of the dream and its interpretation, he worshiped. And he returned to the camp of Israel and said, "Arise, for the Lord has given the host of Midian into your hand." You see, that's what the Lord had told Gideon before he went down to the camp and heard and listened to the dream. Those same exact words that God had said to Gideon in that previous verse, now the Lord, through Gideon, is saying to his people. He returns in verse 15 to the camp of Israel and says, "Arise, for the Lord has given the hand of Midian, the host of Midian, into your hand." He repeats the Lord's words from verse 9. These are the same words that the Lord had spoke through his prophetess Deborah to Barak in chapter 4, as he was to charge down the hill against Jabin and his 900 iron chariot. And so you see, after all of his doubts and struggle, and God's careful patience with Gideon, it was the Lord who gave him the faith that was needed. And this is the moment. This is the moment that we read in Scripture for Gideon, where he lives out and demonstrates is Hebrews 11, verse 1, faith. That doubting and unsure Gideon, who is in the halls of faith later in Hebrews chapter 11, that Gideon in Hebrews 11, verse 1 says, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. It is at this moment that Gideon is assured of the things hoped for, God's deliverance. The rest of that verse, the conviction of things not seen, even though he only had 300 men versus 135,000 men, he is now convicted in his heart that God will give them the victory. Don't you see that this is a vertical faith? This is a heavenly faith. This is what we call eschatological faith. It is being sure of what you hope for. It is being convicted of what you do not see, because you're looking at things from heaven's perspective through God's eyes that he has given you to see. Look on your outlines this morning how I've highlighted in bold under that last point from Hebrews chapter 11, verses 32 to 24. And what more shall I say? For time would fail to tell me of Gideon, there's his name, in the halls of faith. The beginning of verse 33, I didn't highlight it, but or make it in bold, but it's there. Who through faith did what? Look what I've put in bold later. Made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war. That is what God equipped Gideon to do. He looks at the larger army across from him, and from the world's perspective, his 300 men that the Lord has given him, that's weakness. We can't defeat that army. We can't go into that camp. We're going to be slaughtered. But what does he do in verse 16? And he divided the 300 men into three companies and put trumpets into the hands of all of them and empty jars with torches inside the jar. Where are the weapons? Where is the military armor, the swords and the shields? Gideon puts trumpets, empty jars with torches inside, into the hands of his 300 men. These are not weapons. What are they? They are the weapons that God tells us in his word that the Lord will use someday when his supernatural vertical judgment comes to this world from heaven. The pre-incarnate Lord Jesus Christ, when he came to earth during his incarnation, he filled in more details. He tells us that God's judgment will come when? In darkness. He tells us that God's judgment will come suddenly like a thief in the night. He reminds us and reminds God's people that you better keep your lamp lit. During the time of Joshua, Gideon already knows that the sound of the trumpet as they marched around Jericho was the sign right before the supernatural salvation act of God where he would bring down the walls of Jericho and judge them. And God has inspired the Apostle Paul to tell us in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16, that when the Lord appears in the sky, we will hear the sound of the trumpet. The sound of the Lord's coming, the sound of the Lord's salvation, and the sound of the Lord's judgment. Don't you see this morning what this Old Testament battle is foreshadowing and all the build-up to it? As we will see in our next sermon, like the other judges, this battle foreshadows, it pictures the final end-time judgment of God to come when God will save his people and bring judgment upon his enemies. And in the meantime, until that day comes, in these verses of our text today, the Lord is showing us through the life of Gideon how he will save his people and bring his judgment upon his enemy. And the Lord shows us in Gideon how until that day comes, we are to have faith as God's people in what seems at times to be overwhelming odds against us. Faith in weakness. That brings us back to where we started our sermon this morning. Remember how we started out today? How have you come here today? Are you feeling poor and hungry and fearful and beaten down? Are you concerned about the economic future? Are you concerned about a potential world of hunger and famine in the days ahead? Are you fearful about enemies of war? Are you beaten down from the world around you because you're trying to live out your Christian life according to God's word, but it doesn't seem like there's very many people around you that want to live that way? And you're beaten down because you do. In our text today, the Lord is showing Gideon that his deliverance was not to be found in a large army or in human strength. But when the Lord reduced Gideon's army down from 32,000 to 300, 1% left, he showed to him and he showed to us, even his New Testament people, the salvation he would send through his coming deliverer would be, from the world's perspective, weakness. And that God's people, in the midst of a world that seems all against them, they need to have faith in God's deliverer, who from the world's perspective looks weak. Instead of sending a Savior that would come to earth and raise up a large army and lead God's people in war with weapons of war against the Romans and throw off their oppression, God sends his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, Son of Man, who comes to earth to dwell with his people. And he comes not to raise up an army or to conquer Rome, but he comes in weakness to die on the cross to forgive the sins of his people so they can have peace with God. And yet, to the world's eyes, when you compare the mighty Roman army to his death on the cross, it looks like a sign of weakness, the most humiliating death that Rome could give. But by his death on the cross, the Lord showed you, and he showed all of his people, that salvation is all of him, that God's wrath and judgment fell upon him for your sins. You cannot save yourselves. There's nothing you can do to save yourself. And in the world's eyes and the culture in which you live today, it looks weak. But like the battle in our text today, that battle foreshadows what the Lord will someday do. The Lord is going to come from heaven. The Lord is going to come from heaven and bring eternal salvation and eternal wrath and judgment for those who do not know him. And though he may try to deny it, like in our text today, God has put fear into the heart of the non-believer. And deep down in their heart, they know no matter how powerful they look or think they are in fear of the true God of heaven and earth. Because God's judgment will happen suddenly and in the night and with the sound of a trumpet. And do you look around today in the world we live in? And then do you sometimes have doubt, like Gideon, about God's word and his promise of salvation through his deliverer? Gideon had those doubts too. But God revealed to him that his salvation is about faith, that is in the midst of the world's eyes, weakness. God revealed to him that faith in weakness, faith in the deliverer that would come in weakness, is faith that is of salvation and eternal life from heaven. And God has called you that if you look to him, and if you're filled with that same vertical and eschatological faith of Hebrews 11 faith. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. God has said to you, the victory is yours in Christ Jesus. He is coming again. If Have you prayed to God? Have you asked Him to help you? In the midst of doubt, in the midst of your struggle, have you asked Him to help you have the faith and to help you with your unbelief? That's what the Lord told us to do. That's what the Lord, by His grace and mercy and love, walks Gideon through until Gideon understands and sees and lives out the faith that God brought to his heart and his life. Amen. Let us pray together. Father in heaven, we're thankful today that you have given us this passage of Scripture to help us see our own lives. Lord, an Old Testament passage about your Old Testament people, but a passage by which we can identify, Lord, the struggling believer and the knowledge of your word and salvation and your coming again. Father, we see ourselves as we look around us, Lord, in the world in which we live. It seems as if your church, your people, are in weakness. Lord, as we know what the gospel tells us, we see how the world saw that with the coming of your Son, the deliverer that you sent, who died on the cross, that was in weakness. But Lord, you have opened our hearts and minds to see the salvation victory that our Savior had come to bring. That Lord, the deliverer that you sent to save us from our sins, died on the cross and rose again. Lord, to see and understand and know that our Savior has ascended into heaven and that someday He'll come again. And Lord, as we look around us and it seems as if evil is gaining the upper hand. Lord, as we seem to be looking at the Amalekite and the Midianite army that seems so overwhelming and we are so small. Father, we pray that you would help us to have the faith that you gave to Gideon. That you would help us in our unbelief. Lord, that we would see your power, your strength and weakness that has already come. That, Lord, we would see as your people that as we may suffer, Lord, we see your salvation and victory that comes not through our own hands, but only through our Savior, who has saved us and given us salvation and eternal life, which is forevermore. Father, we pray that you would help us look unto him and give us the faith to see his victory in our heart. We pray this all, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.